Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art.
Thank
with
you,
your host, David Von Strawn. Now, here's David.
Oh, tyrants and
Charlottesville.
And
hello, Charlottesville. I can't do my usual hello because my mouth is full. I was prepared. Clint Johnson, executive producer of Homegrown Production. No, I mean muffins. Lovely or roll, lovely pastries brought in by our lovely guests. All right. Hello! Sunday! It is 10 o'clock. It is April the 28th, which means this is Homegrown, your show about local art here in the new and burgeoning Charlottesville, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Oh, so much fun last night. I'm without a co-host. Leslie was just too great, singing her ass off. The lovely, incomparable Rochelle Claiborne at the tribute to Nina Simone show. It was a ball, ladies and gentlemen. It was amazing. Y'all should have checked it out. They tore the roof off. They tore the roof off, Ty. Can you believe it? They did it once again. And Ty Cooper in the house. Ty Cooper in the house. Charlottesville staple.
How y'all doing?
Bringing y'all black entertainment since 1999, however long Ty Cooper's been doing this. But he's been doing it for a while. Yeah, I know, right? It's been a minute. So, but I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Little guy, hairy feet, trying to get through the darkness. Trying to get through the darkness! Hashtag Trump's America.
More like the whiteness.
Yes. The dab stick of America continues to trace itself all over marginalized people everywhere in this country. Some local news, some local / national news. University of Virginia athletic sports team, our fine basketball team, Cal guy Jerome, Jack Salt, and all them boys, DeAndre Hunter and them cats, they have declined the invitation to the White House. Good for them. They cite logistical reasons and not political reasons. The university is saying, I think logistically, Trump is a booty hole. And I think that's probably why, physiologically, the stuff that comes out of him is kind of booty. So, I think that's probably why. I mean, that's the move that you got to do, right?
Yeah, man.
I mean, I think that's the move that really is the safest for all parties involved. This is such professional radio that I'm doing, but I can't let this stale, and I can't let this go to waste. Call Nick Johnson, executive producer of Homegrown, slapping me in the arm, cursing me, and wondering why God he put me in this position. But he has, so you're stuck with me. And you're also stuck with the awesome King Gemini.
What's up, guys?
It's kind of a horrible segue, but I'm going to keep working it for now. King Gemini is a musician.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing this morning?
It's a good player.
I'm just chilling, man. I appreciate you guys taking me out, you know what I mean, letting me come up here to the show. It's going to be my first radio interview, and I'm excited. I'm stoked, man. I'm glad to be back home, glad to be doing this in Charlottesville. I wouldn't want to be doing anywhere else, you know what I mean? I'm from here, you know what I mean, was here born and raised, so it's good to come back home and show you guys what I can truly do and start releasing my music soon, man. I can't wait. I think it's going to be great. You know what I mean? I really do. And I believe a lot of artists today, you know what I mean, they're trying to put out the best stuff, trying to do the best thing in their situation, trying to make a negative light positive. And that's what I'm really about. I'm really trying to come out here and not only change myself, but change my audience around me. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Brandy KG is currently available on Spotify, iTunes.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
All that stuff. Social platforms soon to come. I got an engineer who's going to be putting all that stuff on and doing it his way. So
okay.
I did it.
Okay. And this is your first joint?
Yeah.
Because you look a little young.
Yeah.
I don't want to be ageist. No, I just want to say, you look a little...
Yeah, I'm 20, so I'm putting out... this is going to be... I made music previously, but I'm the type of person where I like to curate it to figure it out, to figure out what I like the best for my audience to see. So this music that's coming out currently is gonna possess those characteristics of what I truly believe I wanted my audience to see. I put out a couple tracks on SoundCloud about a year ago. Got some decent following, but saw that I wanted to, you know what I mean, go farther with my craft, go to different social platforms, and you know what I mean, and put it on through that. So,
okay. Well, speaking of it, we got it here right now. So I'm trying to listen to it. I'm trying to find out what you're about.
For sure,
so,
man.
That's what's up. What is it, Clinton?
Before we do that, let me ask. So we've got a wonderful opportunity to talk to somebody who's at the beginning.
Yes.
Of a career.
Yes.
A beginning of the game. We talked a little about it before the show. Why don't you tell? So what is it like to be at the position? What are people telling you in terms of how you start this?
Yeah. So from a lot of my engineer producer, I've been working with my producer now for over a year. We met out in California. And my engineer, we had really been chopping up and talking the past couple of weeks.
Fancy.
But they told me that, you know, man, just like. In the beginning, a lot of it is about patience. You know what I mean? You want to hop on. You want to jump on the scene quickly. And you want everything to come to you so fast. And that's part about being young, too. So for me, it's just like taking things as, you know what I mean, as a man, taking them slow. Seeing them before they come. Being meticulous about what you're trying to do. Envision a path. Not just keep it, sporadic and expect stuff to happen for you.
That's,
make it happen for
that's
yourself.
That's really thoughtful to have, you know, being where you are right now in the game, you know, that's a really good way of looking at things.
How did you say you've been doing music for a long time? How did you find your way to music? And was it like from the beginning, were you like hip hop or what, did you try different things first? Do you have a country background that we don't know about? It's like, is that going to come out on YouTube sometime?
No country
background.
Yo, man,
King Jeff.
Yeah, no country
background. Check out this banjo playing.
Shout out to 10 years.
Shout out him,
man. Lil Nas X.
Doing his own thing. Another kid my age. But no crazy country coming out from me, man. Definitely not trying to incorporate that, and at least me and my hip hop.
To each their own,
exactly. But you know what I mean, I think it's good that our generation is being open to let other people be who they want to be. I think that's what, if it's over anything, I think as a young kid, I felt uncomfortable to be who I wanted to be. In ordination to your question about asking me about rap, I really didn't rap a lot when I was younger. You know what I mean? I was a big basketball player. When you guys were talking about UVA hoops, man, I played Mamadi Diakite when I was in high school. When I went to middle school, I went to their the private school that was their rival school, Blue Ridge's rival school. And me, you know, he would come at us. He was their only good player, you know what I mean? But we usually won those games, and we had each teams had major Division I talent. So I was really into basketball as a young kid, and through high school until about my junior year. I told my coach, man, I need to do something else in my life. Yeah, there was a bigger calling to me through my dad, through other circumstances that I knew I wanted to be someone, a voice that wanted to be heard. And then
and I do want to talk about your family background in a second.
Yeah.
That sounds really bad. I do want to talk about your family in a little bit. Nah, but can we listen to this track?
Yeah.
I'm itching, yo. All right. So this is King Gemini. What's the track called?
Well, right now we're going to tag it as Brandy, but when we put it up on social media, we might change the name. But right now, it's just Brandy.
All right. Well, this is Brandy. Second, we're going to figure some stuff out. But we are having a little bit of technical difficulties, so we're going to hold on that. Bro, when I talk to you, there is a certain intensity that comes from you that is... it's almost like infectious. Like, I feel you. I want you to have the same things too. Like, talk about that fire.
So to be honest, man, a lot of people, in this world, Bradley Cooper said it, you know what I mean? The actor, he said 9 out of 10 people want you to fail in life. And for me, I try to be bigger than that. I try to be a light force, because a lot of people in my life told me I couldn't do what I envisioned to do, and I couldn't be what I wanted to be in this world.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, we got all the social media, and it's funny. We got all the social media to outplace love and you know, care, but we choose to use negative light on mm-hmm. that. So my intensity comes from, it really comes from me just trying to put out light in the world. I want people to see that this is what light looks like. This is what you not have to act like, because I'm not going to change the way you live and change the way you act. But,
well,
you know what I mean?
Well, let's unpack that, because, yeah. like, it, you know, I mean, let's be real. How old are you?
20.
All right, 20. You're 20 years old. So you're, like, at the apex of, like, the social media era. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ty, me, we don't really, like, I mean, we get it. We mess with it because yeah. we have to now. It's part of the culture. But we don't really understand where all of the weight in social media comes from. Whereas your generation, it's really
forefront,
impactful. Yeah, it's the forefront of what's going on.
For sure.
So, and you talk about it in a different sense. So how do you combat that usual negative, shady, passive-aggressive social media commentary? How do you combat that with the philosophy that you're expressing right now?
So Martin Luther King, he coined a very, you know, important phrase and term when he uses that darkness can't shut out darkness, only light can do that. You know what I mean? And I truly try to live through those words. I think that if I try to handle those situations with darkness on social media, if I try to throw hate at hate, it doesn't solve anything. I don't get anywhere. And that person who was throwing hate in the first place, you got to imagine where he's at or she's at or that person's at in their daily life. Mainly when they act negative, it's because negative energy is around them. Mm. So how, be bigger than that person. You know what I mean? Go out there and be like, yo, what's wrong with you, man? What's up with you? I'm sorry that you're feeling that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Really try to go out for people today, man. Especially in the hip hop industry, what I've seen is that there's not a lot of that in my age group.
Word.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
In older generations, there's a lot of love. You know what I mean? R.I.P. Nipsey Hussle. You know what I mean? He really tried to go out and change his
mm-hmm.
community and change
yeah.
his family. And I wasn't really into Nipsey Hussle. I'm not gonna ride that wave and be like, yo, I mess with Nipsey Hussle.
No.
I like
same.
What he did.
But I really backtracked.
Exactly.
And
facts.
I like
facts.
kind of caught everything that he was doing on the back end and behind the scenes. And you know, yeah, it was kind of like what you do when you hear about somebody passing away, they kind of like put their obituaries out and show everything that they've done. Like, I remember when Aretha passed away and learning about all the civil rights movements, like acts that she did, how Martin Luther King would be low on money. So they would, so she would have concerts and fundraisers so that they could keep going on with the boycott and
yeah.
stuff like that. So they would, Harry Belafonte would do the same thing. So they would provide musical venues to help financially support civil
yep.
rights activism.
Yep.
So so Nipsey was kind of on the same deal with that. So there are different ways, like the St. Paul principles, different tactics. But I hear you. Talk about how this kind of goes into your music, how your philosophy kind of bleeds into what you produce as an artist and
yes.
how it differentiates you from the rest of the pack.
I think that most artists go into a project obviously feeling some type of emotion and characteristic. Like I said, I've been talking about a lot. It's positive energy, positive light. Who brings that a lot is Snoop Dogg, if I had to bring out somebody. And he really tries to embody that. You know what I mean? He had to face a murder
mm-hmm.
case. I hope to God I'm never going to face anything like
yeah.
that. You know what I mean? But to go through that type of pressure, through that type of psychological pressure, and then come out positive, to me that was like, man, like, that was everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like really embodying the spirit. You know what I mean? Like really trying to go out and be something bigger than yourself.
Mm.
That's what inspires me, man. It's just like, I know what I'm from. I know who I am. I get told every day what I am. You know what I mean? But for you, if you're a musician, if you're trying to do something bigger than yourself in life, man, you cannot listen to everybody else around you unless it's positive energy. You know what I mean? Unless it's positive energy.
What's the name King Gemini come from?
King Gemini comes from King being a servitude of his people.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I wasn't trying to make it like, yo, I'm a king, I'm over you.
No.
That's the opposite of that. It was more like, I'm here to serve my people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to serve my community.
Mm-hmm.
In a time of need, mm-hmm. given 2017 when we had mm-hmm. those racial wars, I was in
yeah.
California, but someone needs to have a young man needs mm-hmm. or a woman needs to mm-hmm. you know what I mean, have a voice right now mm-hmm. In our community.
And we can be kings within ourselves.
Exactly.
And know that we are kings within our communities, and like if we hold ourselves as kings, then we will hold ourselves to a certain demeanor.
Exactly.
And we, you know, to a certain light. So absolutely. Exactly. Yeah,
and,
keep going.
And Gemini, I'm a Gemini.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't mess with them Geminis, yeah, yo. That's where it comes from, man.
That's what you found out. Fed up from the horse.
Yo, y'all be crazy, man. Geminis,
facts, man. Facts. Yeah, so basically, my brother and I were kicking it about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when I'm coming up with my name. And he was like, man, what can we put after King? Because it was like, man, you put King in your name. You're, you know what I mean? Okay. But what do you want to put after? And I was like, you know what I mean? I want to be psychological about this. I want to be different. I don't want to just put, you know, some name behind it. You know what I mean? I want to put something that means something to me. Mm-hmm. So Gemini means something to me, and I'm a twin. I'm a fraternal twin. So for me, Gemini is more like the shared characteristics between being a twin and the characteristics that come from a Gemini.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, it was definitely
that's
like the
mix. Crazy. And your brother helped you come up with that, so that's even cooler.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to do a drop. We're going to be right back. Hopefully, we can get this music started going, and then we'll find more about Mr. King Gemini.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll be right back with Brandy. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is Jay Warr from Vibe Riot. You listen to 94.7 WPVC Homegrown, Charlottesville. What up?
18 minutes past the hour. And we're back on Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David, that's Clinton on the boards, and King Gemini is up, in yo? The hizzy and
no, we're
on
here, man.
The mic spitting that life.
We're here,
so,
man.
You are grown, my friend.
Thank you, man.
You are the most grown 20-year-old I've ever met in my entire life. Like,
I appreciate
seriously.
That, man. 100%.
Yeah, so... I was gonna let's talk about your life. Let's get into the background a little bit. Clinton's pointing at me. We want to get the music going. Do we want to hear the music?
Yeah, let's
hear the music. We've been dying to hear the music all day. This is Brandy. Let's get it. We gotta go.
Shine. King Gemini spit the ring.
I had no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew official when Ty Cooper coming in behind you, like, yeah, I got one for you. I got one for you.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
All right.
So, who's your producer? How'd you hook up with him?
Yeah, good question, man.
Very good question.
So, actually, I really tried to do this.
I need them digits.
Like a story, you know what I mean? How when I watch, you know, older rap, they kind of meet through life's experiences. That's not over like a text or a phone call or whatever. I really try to embody that. I met my producer when I moved out to California. I was, you know, doing my own thing. Me and him met up at a coffee shop in Sebastopol, California. Shout out Sebastopol. Shout out everyone out there.
Mm-hmm.
We just started kicking it and chopping things up, just talking. He's like, dude, you sound a lot different than most 19-year-olds, because I was 19 at the time. And I was just telling him about my vision and what I wanted to do in this world and how I didn't want anyone else to tell me I couldn't do that. He respected that. And he's really good at making beats. He's a good producer, but he's really good at making beats. So when he took me back to his crib, he played me a couple beats, man. And I was freestyling for like probably like a couple hours. Like I was going in, because like I felt it. I felt it was the first time I connected my inner self to somebody else through music, and we just caught a vibe, man, immediately, and it turned into a friendship I'm gonna cherish for the rest of my life. Yeah, man, it could have, you know, I mean, it could have been the marijuana smoke, and it could have been, you know, it could have been that vibe, but
it tends to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's just in Cali. I think you don't even have to smoke it. Like, yeah. It's just in there. There's
it's
nothing
the
you
air,
can
man.
Do. Like, yeah. Not trying to self-incriminate you.
Yeah, no, I'm chilling, man. I'm good. I got anything on me right now.
So let's talk about your life in particular, because you are from the DMV area.
Yeah.
Born and raised. But something took you out to Cali. Things took you out to Cali. Talk about it if you feel like talking about
it. Yeah. I think for me, I was born and raised in Fairfax, Virginia, moved up here when I was 5 years old with my mom and my dad, to Charlottesville. Really Crozet.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me in great schools.
But really Charlottesville.
Yeah,
That's where you're going shopping at.
Exactly.
But that's true.
Yeah.
You're going shopping in Crozet.
Yeah, you know. We
can't buy Jordans in Crozet.
Can't buy nothing in Crozet, man. We got like one gas station.
Word.
Definitely just like the when I was growing up, I think a lot of the energy was put towards sports or scholastics or no real impression in music from what I was around, from people I was around, from people I associated with.
Word.
So for me, it was finding that within myself, and it was really a therapy for me. Growing up, my dad, like I said, wasn't really involved in my life. He was dealing with certain types of abuse. So for me, it was hard to internalize that as a young kid. Mm-hmm. It is, you know what I mean? In a lot of situations that young kids go through, it's hard to internalize. So for me, it was like, man, what can I do to find as a kind of a crutch or something that's not going to immediately hurt myself or my family.
Right.
First, it was basketball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was a sport. It was a baseball, too, when I was even a freshman in high school. But as I began to get older and older, I realized that, man, I love writing. That's where I started my musical influence, was writing the music, was poetry. It was really started with poetry.
Yeah.
And that elevated. Once I read my mom a poem, probably freshman or sophomore year in high school, and I brought tears to her eyes just from my words. And my brother, too, he was sitting right there. He didn't think I wrote it. he didn't believe me. He's like, you didn't write that, man.
Yeah, siblings be always trying to dismiss you. Like, you ain't.
He's like, man, you didn't do that, bro. You lying, man.
You stole that. You plagiarized that.
He really did. Man. Facts. And so basically, I just was like, nah, man, I really did write this. And, you know, I mean, he was like, I think from that point on, if I can be 100, my brother was on my side when it came.
And all of those aspects don't have to be mutually exclusive. Like,
exactly.
You can still be a well-rounded individual. I think people, like, especially people of color, like, try to dismiss that. You can still be, like, you know, multifaceted. You can still love basketball. You can still love art. You can still love poetry. You can still love and all that good stuff. But we got to close it up soon. It's been, we got one more minute.
For sure, man.
Because, what? Yeah. I was going to say, social media, shout it out.
Yeah. So right now I'm on King Gemini, just on SoundCloud right now. I got a bunch of music coming on all sorts of platforms, you know, iTunes Music, Spotify.
Well, what's this joint? Like, where can I find this joint? So, like, we had to dig in the annals of the dark web to find that. I saw Clinton pull out his second keyboard.
Yeah.
He had to hack through.
Man. I'm not like, even arguing that point. yeah. So right now, this music I've been recently creating through this new engineer I met, he's moving out to L.A. in 3-4 days, but he wants to help me forefront and put out my music.
Okay.
Help me.
He better be. He better not want to be one of those shysters that keep you joint.
I don't catch that vibe.
Yeah, I was gonna say we got people.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Sivo got you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
Sivo will hold you down.
I appreciate you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. So I mean, but we gotta wrap it up. I mean, it's just what. Do you want to stick around? Do you want to just like kick it in the chair while we talk to Ty?
For sure, man.
All right, we'll just move on over. We gotta do a little bit of announcements, local announcements for Charlottesville stuff that's going down in the Charlottesville area. So just hang tight, and we gonna get to that in a minute. We got music rolling, Clinton. I don't have my headphones on. I don't know why they never give me headphones. I have headphones right here. I guess I could just plug them in. Let's just get to it, shall we? Stop talking, David. Here are some of the artistic events happening this week. Last chance. Final events from the Nine Pillars Hip Hop Festival. Have you caught any events at the Hip Hop Festival? You need to check it out this Sunday. That's what you're doing today. Last chance, the Book of Will at Live Arts Theater. And also currently running Catch These Art Exhibits, hanging out in Charlottesville until April 30th. Rich Tarbell's Photography Exhibit. It's a music town, exploring the sights, the sounds, and the stories of Charlottesville in the modern rock era. Former guests of Homegrown. Presented by the Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society. Made possible by a donation from Hunter Smith at Champion Brewing Company. I had a shower beer.
Champion!
I had a shower beer last night at the Front Porch show.
Champion!
Nina Simone tribute. It was awesome. I hadn't had a beer in forever. I had to cheat at least once. It was what it was. UVA students Alden Meyer and Liza Wimbish opened their photography exhibit, A Place to Call, at the Ryder House. Michael Fitz and Megan Reed have objectified their joint exhibit, A Photorealistic Style of Painting, at Second Street Gallery. I have to see that. I'm probably going tomorrow. And retired UVA medieval art professor exhibits her pattern images, the results of photography and Photoshop at New Dominion Bookshop. And also painter Ken Horn and sculptor Robert Strinney at New City Arts Welcome Gallery.
Saw that, walked in, abstract painting, abstract culture, sculpture, really cool. You should see it.
Stamp of approval. Clinton Johnson, executive producer, Homegrown. So yeah, that's all happening through April 30th. So you have less than 2 days. Good luck. Currently running June 9th, the American Shakespeare Center's current traveling troupe returns from the End of Time tour to the Black Friars Theater in Stanton to perform the Antigone by Sophocles. I don't know why my voice sounds like this. 16 Winters or the Bear's Tale by Mary Elizabeth Hamilton and the Comedy of Errors and the Winter's Tale by Shakespeare. Tonight, former guest Priyanka Chopra devised piece hashtag Charlottesville, followed by her one-person piece The Elephant in the Room at Live Arts Theater at 7. That's going down tonight. And also tonight, UVA drama grad student in acting, Jakina Melvin, performs her one-person show, Birth of an Activist, looking at African-American female activists throughout history at UVA Helms Theater at 7. 7 p.m. May 1st, Jefferson Madison Regional Children's Library, Glynis Welt. Welty or Welt? From the Gordon Avenue branch comes to UVA Fralin Art Museum for Pictures and Pages, where she uses movements, songs, and even puppets to connect kids to art. Also on May 1st, Wild Virginia presents the 2019 Wild Virginia Wild and Scenic Film Festival, with a selection of nature and ecological films at the Violet Crown Theater.
You weren't expecting nature and ecological films. It's not like Virginia Gone Wild. It's not, Wild Virginia, they're great, but they're not that.
No, it's not. It's not like a naked dude jumping off the back of a truck, running past the police.
Nelson County Gone Wild.
That's Wild Virginia to me. I don't know where you from. May 2nd through May 5th, Albemarle High School presents Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Good luck with that. May 3rd, it's time for First Fridays. Don't miss these local artists exhibiting on and around the downtown mall. Nina Thompson and Tracy Landon display their paintings at New Dominion Bookshop. Lou Haney's at New City Arts Welcome Gallery. Various artists showing encaustic works. I need to look that up later. At Melting Point, contemporary encaustic works at the Sarah B. Smith Gallery of the McGuffey Art Center. Is encaustic where you like freeze something in carbonite, like Han Solo? Is that what that means? Kelly Oakes displays her careful figure work in still at McGuffey. Local high school exhibit at McGuffey. Local high schools exhibit at McGuffey. Michael Fitz and Megan Reed, they're back. Objectify, still going down. Oh, it's going at Second Street Gallery until May 17th. May 17th. So I still will not procrastinate. I still will go on Monday, and I'll probably go again in that time. Carrie Olivia shows dream-like imagery created by manipulating photographs in Mayflowers at Top Knot Studio. And on May the 3rd, in recognition of Mental Health Awareness Month, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library presents the Art of Resilience and Recovery for First Fridays. This exhibit features banners fostering an understanding of mental health issues made by community members. May 3rd through the 12th, GTP, that's Guerrilla Theater Productions, but y'all don't live in Seville, presents a stripped-down version of the Glass Menagerie. I'm just going to keep going. That was going to be a horrible joke. May 4th, poet Claire Milliken and photographer Alice Bailey do a joint presentation of their works at New Dominion Bookshop. And May the 4th, The Revel, the Bridge Progressive Arts Institute Initiatives fundraiser. And for your music options this week.
Today, the go-to is the Bates Film Market at 1 p.m. Also today, former guest Horace Scruggs leads the Piedmont Virginia Community College Chorus in their spring concert at 3 p.m. The Charlottesville Symphony plays works from Respighi, Chaitin, and Schumann at the Martin Luther King Jr. Performance Center at 3:30. Tomorrow, the Seville Jazz Series presents Trombonology, playing the music of Charlie Parker and Charles Mingus at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. April 30th, Lewis Smith and Friends at Fellini's. May 1st, Gina Sobel at the Shabine Pub and Bry. The Cows play rock, reggae, and ska at Rapture. On the 2nd, Box Lunch is back. That's right, at Christ Episcopal Church. We're talking free Thursday concerts at noon throughout May. For the first day's Thursday, we have Heather Hightower, Wesley Diener, and Christina Fleming singing the works of Grieg, Mozart, Handel, and Haydn. Such great music. Can you handle it? At Christ Episcopal Church. May 3rd, Chickenhead Blues Band of Fellini's. Catch various student jazz groups perform on May 3rd at Jazz in the Amphitheater in front of UVA's Old Cabell Hall. Also on May 3rd, Davina Jackson and Wild Common plays Fridays after 5 at the Sprint Pavilion downtown. Belize's at Glasshouse Winery. And on the 4th, we've got Zuzu's Hot 5 at Almaro Siner Works. The Lua Project at Knight's Gambit Vineyards. Alice Clare at the Grace Estate Winery. Terry Allard Band at the Batesville Market. And on the May 4th, Front Porch Roots Music School's 3rd annual Spring Block Party. We're talking instrument sales, concert swag sales, craft beer from Champion Brewery, Champion, and live music from noon to 8 p.m. every Sunday. It's Travis Elliott at Rapture every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School, and then Seafoot. Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Where else? Tango Music with Miles Pierce and Matthew Metcalf at The Bebedero. Red and the Romantics at The Whiskey Jar, Onyx Manor at Rapture, and the Songwriter Night at Local every Tuesday. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at The Bebedero. The Rocky Mountain String Band at The Whiskey Jar. The Traditional Irish Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Tecker Quartet at Miller's. Thank goodness. Every Wednesday and Thursday, Josh Mayo doing his open mic at 1221 Market Street and Bachata Fusion at The Rabbit Hole. Every Thursday, it's Humberto Salas and Vincent Zorn doing the Gypsy Rumba at the Bebedary. And of course, every Thursday, John Durth with the John Durth Quintet at Mellini's. Because every once in a while, Mellini's at Miller's. Because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Durth.
Isn't that really what that corner is, Mellini's? The corner between Fellini's and Miller's, where you just go and drink when you just have nothing better to do with your life between 11 and 1:30 in Charlottesville. Hit me with a drop. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hey, guys. This is John Johnson of Darkson Entertainment. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
37 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, what is wrong with you? We have just had an amazing show, and you should be disappointed in yourselves. This is Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC. Stay tuned after the show for more great local programming. We're on the progressive voice. We give you the funny. We give you the informative all the time. Oh, my God. You know what's going down when Ty Cooper comes in the building.
Uh-oh.
It's Ty Cooper is the Steve Martin of Homegrown. It's his 57th appearance.
57th.
On Homegrown.
I love
to talk
this
about
show.
His latest endeavor. No, Ty's the man. He's like I said, he's been doing stuff here, helping black performers out here since the 90s, just doing his thing, keeping it real, keeping it black, keeping it Charlottesville. Always. So it's always great to have him in the place. And he's brought Starbucks. So
yeah,
that it's even better to have him.
Yeah, even better.
Place. So thank you for all of that.
Yeah, you're welcome for your caffeine.
Yeah, extra caffeine. Like I needed more. What's good with you, brother?
No, I'm chilling, man. Chilling, just working.
Good.
You know, just working, trying to be a creative like you are.
All right.
Yeah, no, we're not saying the guests have to bring us
no, of course
danishes
not.
And coffee when they come, but I'm just saying
nice
Ty keeps coming back. I'm just saying Ty keeps coming back.
I can't come empty handed.
Ty keeps getting to promote his art for free.
I can't come
So all you gotta do is come with a little bit of pastry and a little bit of coffee, and you can come back whenever you like and talk about whatever you're doing.
Local Charlottesville artists, we work for sugar and caffeine.
we are so low maintenance. And sponsorships. We like sponsorships. Shout out to Jeff Leonard. Amanda.
Yeah, man. Amanda.
Okay.
I fell in love with her, man. I'm cheating on someone with Amanda.
Sounds like a server that you met at an Applebee's or something.
She's a mistress.
Okay.
She had become a mistress.
Yeah, she got you sprung. She got you writing the screenplay now.
Yep. Amanda's great, though.
So we were just talking to King Gemini about being at the beginning of his career. You have come so frequently to talk about stuff that you're in the process of working on, stuff that you finished. But now for this, you're at the beginning of a process. You're just doing the screenwriting for Amanda, right?
I finished the screenwriting.
You finished the screenwriting.
Yeah,
so talk about what that's like to be at the beginning of a process. How did you conceive it? How did it come to you? What was it like doing the screenwriting?
Yeah. And actually, I'm going to correct myself. I'm not fully finished. I have two scenes to write, and there's really the two scenes. Like when I said earlier, I fell in love with her. Something that I have to do to her, I don't want to have done. So when you fall in love with your character,
isn't that rough?
Yeah, yo, no, for
isn't
real.
That, see,
I never experienced that before.
That's the tough thing with writing, because I'll watch. I like watching television. I watch television, and when I watch it. I will watch it at various levels. Sometimes I'll be sitting there and I'll watch it with my writer hat on,
mm-hmm.
and like, oh,
yeah,
that was too. Oh, that was nice, and they did. Oh, that's a really good line, and I wish I'd written that line. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But then you get to these places where, like, I said, you know, that person I think is a better writer than I am because I don't know if I could have done what that. But like, that hurts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could have done that to that character. It's like, man, that was a rough twist. It's hard. You got to do that, right?
No, you have to. Not to give away everything, you know, but what I did, I've written everything. I've even written the last scene. I skipped this particular scene that I'm struggling with doing, which has to be done is what it is, to write two scenes after that and everything else before that. So there are two scenes that I did not write yet, which I'm writing because I could just knock it out. But yo, man, it's going to take me on a journey. And I was afraid to write that scene and not be able to recover from it. It's almost like, you know, I'm not an actor, right? You are an actor. You are an actor, Dave. Mm-hmm. So you guys have to get into character. And I don't know, when you get into character, I don't know if you walk around for 3 weeks in character pissing everybody off around you. Or not. I'm not sure if you get that deep into it or
it's
not.
It's like a jacket. Sometimes I put it on. Sometimes I take it off.
Oh, you just take it off. So you don't put that jacket
on.
Depends
on how I feel.
At work. Okay. So with me writing it, is that I got really caught up into it because I think I did some really good character development for Amanda. So I think that's why I'm struggling with that, this particular two scenes. So.
How many screenplays is this, Ty?
How many? This is the first narrative short. And it's
no, I'm just talking about like you. Short. Like, how many screenplays have you written? Like overall.
No, three.
Word?
Yeah, three.
Just that few?
Yeah, I've written about 7 or 8 stage plays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew that you. Yeah.
And he's been doing a lot of documentaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing documentaries right. and stuff too.
Right.
So this is like my first narrative short. The way this is, I did some co-writing.
Okay.
With Mingle. You know, mm-hmm. Mingle, I directed it. I co-wrote it. I co-wrote 2 of the scenes. I filmed it. I did the editing. So, you know what I mean? So I was all really engulfed in that. This one here, Amanda, I'm only writing and directing. I'm not even going to film this one. I'm not picking up a light. I'm not picking mm-hmm. up a boom pole because I really want to, not that other things haven't been taken seriously, but this is something different for me.
No, I hear you. I completely hear you because yeah. I know when sometimes I sacrifice my artistic vision for like logistical purposes and for the things that need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just like want to like save money and I just yeah. don't want to ask somebody like do something for me because I just don't have anything to compensate them. But yeah. you know, sometimes you just have to feel like you got to do it right. And you if you want to do it that way and if you feel like you need to do it that way, then. Damn yes, it, this absolutely. Has to be done this way.
Absolutely.
And you know, how many plays have you written? But, I mean, this is like number 3, and you've been behind the camera for so many long, so you know by this time what it takes to get a film done and what you need personally as a filmmaker.
Yeah, I'm doing a shot list now. Some of the shot lists I did while I was writing, because it's easier that way. You see it, you envision it as you're writing it, so you might as well just go ahead and do it, because then you may forget when you have to go back to it.
So if I'm a writer and I'm listening to this show right now, talk about that. Or just a filmmaker in general, mm-hmm. talk about that. Talk about like what you just said. Like, talk about the boundaries that you set for yourself and the goals that you set in every endeavor that you take part, because you've done a lot of work. And it takes some artists like forever just to accomplish one project. Mm-hmm. So like, talk about it. I'm finishing it.
So
talk about your process.
So let me encompass what Clinton asked me, because I didn't answer his question. It's almost the same. I mean, it leads into it. So my process in the beginning, man, is for me to just be motivated to write, right? So something has to spark something in me to want to write about a particular something. And with Amanda has she's an artist, she's a painter, and she ended up having brain cancer. So and she's waiting for her work to get curated. And so when I first started to write this, I started to write it as a feature, right? So when I started writing the feature, I was like, man, you know what, if I write this feature, I'm probably not going to film it until 2020. I want to film it in 2019. So I was like, you know what, so I started thinking about it, and I was like, damn, what if I do an episodic piece? Right, I was like, oh, if I do a series of shorts. So now I started thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? I looked at my characters that I developed for the feature, and I was like, who would be the character that I would want to pull to concentrate on that person's life? Mm. And everyone had an interesting story. So Amanda, I was like, let me pull Amanda. So I pulled Amanda, because the stage, I mean, the screenplay was called Today is Tomorrow. So I pulled Amanda, and all the other characters that's in this the feature, you see them in Amanda. You don't go into their lives outside the coffee house. Everything happens in, most things happen in the coffee house as far as interaction with all these different characters. Mm-hmm. But with Amanda, you go outside the coffee house. You go into her bedroom. You go into her bathroom. You go into her living room. You go into in front of her brownstone. Cause I'm going to film it in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And so you go to the doctor's office with her. You see her speaking to her father on FaceTime. So you have all these different elements that you go outside of the life. I'm outside of the coffee house with Amanda. But the same thing I decided to do for each character having their own separate screenplays. Mm. And then what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna shop it. I'm gonna submit to Sundance this year. Mm-hmm. But then I'm gonna shop it, and if I can get distribution, then cool. If I can get it picked up, cool. If not, then I'm gonna do a YouTube series. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you know, so it's always a way of doing it. So I just be motivated. I believe that inspiration is within. So motivation comes outside of you. So I've been motivated, you know, by talking to someone who had brain cancer and really developing Amanda's story. Mm. You know, for herself.
And that's why Taki's coming here, because he keeps coming up with amazing content from amazing stories all of the time. We got to do a drop, and we'll be back with him. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is AJ Amos, a photographer here in town. You're listening to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local artists on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Shellsville.
48 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Shellsville. Clinton on the boards, executive producer, Homegrown.
What?
Lovely brother of mine. Another lovely brother of mine is Ty Cooper.
Yep.
Keeping it real in Seville since 1993. Amanda, this is the new project. Screenplay finished, minus two scenes. He going to work on that. He'll probably be done by 4 o'clock today, though, so, filming it by 6. Because he's always in motion. Go.
So, why Brooklyn?
Why Brooklyn?
Yeah, why Brooklyn?
Well, because of gentrification. There's a gentrification.
There's
aspect.
Gentrification here.
Yeah, we don't have the brownstones and the aesthetic, certain aesthetics that I want to present.
We also don't have the shooting fee.
Gorilla.
I'm an animal.
I made Cass Rich too in it, man. You know Rich, your boy Rich Bird, and my boy. You know.
Oh, Rich Bird always works.
Yeah. So I want him to work on it because he'd be good for this character I have named Lloyd. But the process was great, man. I'm so excited about it, you know. So I'm really looking forward. I met this guy who filmed this project that screened at Sundance this past January, and I talked to him after his screening. Mm-hmm. And I would love for him to shoot it. I would love for Eric Hurt to shoot it locally, or this gentleman who I don't want to mention his name, but he wanted me to send it to him, the screenplay. If he likes it, then he would like to, you know. Yeah,
and it's a and long, his name is Ryan Coogler.
I talked to him. He's great, and the thing about him, man, is that he's amazing, man. But he's in high demand right now because of that project that was at Sundance. Mm. And Amanda, it's a short, but it's a long short.
Yeah,
it's a long short that festivals don't really like because they like short shorts so that they could like just throw a bunch of them together.
Go ahead.
So I'm wondering, because knowing how you've worked and knowing your work in the past, I'm wondering if one, I'm excited to see you doing new things.
Thank you.
And that's what's always so crucial for an artist, and that's what's I think so crucial for you in particular. But knowing the way you've worked in the past, I'm wondering if this is going to be difficult for you to turn your script over to someone else to film, because notoriously what happens in film is, right, you turn it over to the director. And I mean, it's not like plays where it's like the playwright says, this is it, you do my script.
Right.
Film is really different. You turn it over, and right, I mean, there's the director has a lot of say in terms of this, that, and the other. And you're used to having total control over your work because you've written and you've directed. What's that going to be like?
No, that's why I am the director. I'm the writer and director.
Oh, I see.
I'm not filming it. I'm not the cinematographer and DP on this one.
Yeah,
so I need that control. And you're very right. For me to give it up, I had to get a fat check to give something up like that. You know what I mean? And since I don't do it for the money, for real, I'm just being real. Since I don't do this for the money, I do it for the craft.
Right.
I create my own checks. You know what I'm saying? So.
But if I'm not doing it for the craft.
Yeah, if I'm not doing it for the
you're
craft.
You're going to have to put an extra zero on that.
Yeah, you're going to always do it for the craft, even though you're making money.
Nah, I hear
but,
you.
But
I hear
with Amanda,
you.
No, with you. Amanda, I'm not willing to turn it over unless. Like if I shop as a pilot for an episodic piece, and they see the story and they understand the story and how the direction I want to go with the story, then that's something that we work out.
Well, I think that's what the beauty about like what today is with like the dominance of Netflix and showing like that you don't like that's what people kind of want. It's like they want their viewing and they can always pause it and come back to it. So they'll ever feel like, and I think that's what's great for artists is that we don't, especially editors now, they can put everything that they want into one episode. Like one episode can be like 45 minutes and another episode can be like 80 minutes. And they don't feel like that they're like cheating or like, making the American public wait any longer because that's what they want to see. And when they want to see it, they can come back to it anytime. So, Don't you feel like there's a little bit of leeway and freedom in your craft now with like Netflix and like YouTube Red and like all these people? Disney just did a streaming network. They're all doing their thing.
Yeah, I think it has become more accessible for people to put it out and to create, because now with low-end cameras or even high-end cameras at a decent price, yeah, and rentals, so you can rent a $50,000 Red if you want to, you know what I mean, to shoot it, as long as you just budget so that you can shoot it in 2, 3, 4 days instead of 30 days. You know what I mean? You can have high-end stuff. You just have to know how to use it. So with Netflix, for instance, they have certain specifications now. So the quality has to be there for them to accept it. So and that's one of the reasons why, like, you know, I want to have this gentleman shoot it, because I could rent the equipment, but there would be rental costs in that equipment, right? So I might as well hire the DP who come with the equipment to film it as well.
So have you ever worked with a director of photography before? Because you've done your own shooting.
Yeah, and I have, and I know how to with commercials, and I know how to communicate.
What do you look for in a relationship between, as a director, in a relationship between you and your director of photography?
The DP and myself, the DP has to respect my decisions as a director. But also as a director and writer, I have to also understand if this idea is better and is enhancing the experience of the future viewers and my actors. So if the DP say, hey, look, check this out. Because like the Coen brothers and Keenan, right? No Country for Old Men. I don't know who made those decisions on those nice, wide, still shots, man. That's amazing. And No Country for Old Men, right?
Yeah.
With the Coen brothers. It's one of my favorite movies. But their relationship is impeccable because they respect one another and they can talk out. So like with this gentleman, I talked to him. I said, look, you're on a different level. Your experience is there. I said, I'm going to do the shot list, but please change the shot list if something doesn't make sense to you. Mm. I respect him that much, and I'm hoping that he respects me that much. And that's what the relationship is. It's a marriage.
It's like with Spike and Ernest Dickerson. You know, they've been working together for however many long and however many films. Brother, I've seen Sharknado 5 on Netflix, so you've got nothing to worry about video quality and performance.
Well, you know, depending on who.
You good. You good. They'll take anything. They really will. All right, we got one more minute. So I just want to bring in Gemini and just kind of wrap things up. Like, it sounds like you guys are going out, venturing outside of Charlottesville, and then coming back in. Yeah, you got a mic up. And coming back in to the town and kind of like artistically, like showing what you've learned. I just want to ask what that experience has been like for both of y'all, just like traveling and coming back home. In a minute, go. 30 seconds each, y'all.
Just to say very quickly, to incorporate and do what you want to do in this world and continue to act how you want to act, and if you believe in something and you believe in yourself, everything will happen for you. Go on the same path, figure out what you want to do in life, and attack it, man. Do what you want to do.
Damn, the boy's growing. Ty Cooper, go.
For me, man, just don't let anyone stop you. Keep your head up, move forward. And one thing about this craft that we're doing, that I'm involved in right now as far as filmmaking, no one can say no to you. You pick up a camera, you shoot. That's it, period. Don't overthink it. Just go ahead and do it. You'll learn as you're going. You know what I'm saying? You're not trying to put out something, some major flick out right now. You know, just get your work in, because you cannot talk about it. You have to do it.
I can't say it any better than this. Like artists going out, fire intensity in their hearts, just doing their thing, defiant of criticism. Artists need to be the same. Artists need to just take life by the horns. Just go with it, because nobody's going to give it to you. Your job is not going to, encourage you to be a better artist. So go and get it while you can, right now, today. I love you, Clinton.
And can I get to my website real quick?
Yeah. Do you.
LifeViewMarketing.com. LifeViewMarketing.com. I'm going to post Amanda progress, you know, throughout the summer.
All right. And that's it for Homegrown. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good day. See you next Sunday. Peace.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We'd like to thank our guest, King Gemini, and, of course, the incomparable Ty Cooper. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. What the heck is this I'm playing right now? This is so wrong. Let's throw some Fellow Man on here. That's probably better. There you go. He's local. This Fellow Man right here. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine Listing Law Firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke. Legal services that wrap around you like a thong. Remember to keep your dial here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We will see you, we hope, we pray, next week.
Feel to get your dish took, watching helpless, all you could do was just look, cause you made the mistake of nibbling that fish hook, now you dangling by your lip like a lynch crook, crestfallen, missing that yes.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.